The reading is from Psalm 46, which you can find on your sheet. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 1 to 5, and can also be found on our order of service. There were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish."
Peter, thank you for reading for us. And as I said when we started, I want us today to hear what Jesus has to say to us in the light of the wickedness of September the 11th. And therefore, I have deliberately chosen this reading because it mirrors so very closely the events of this time last year. All over the press today and this week, we can hear and we can watch and we can read what the world has to say about September the 11th. But this event in the life and teaching of Jesus so closely mirrors what happened last year that just for 10 minutes I thought it would be of use to listen together to what Jesus has to say. And most specifically, I want us to listen to what Jesus has to say to us who are left. And there are really two questions implied there in those verses that we've just had read to us. And if you have them in front of you, you might glance down at them in a moment. And the two questions and two answers. And the first question is this: has the world changed? We've read, haven't we, all sorts of statements and counter-statements about whether the world has changed or how the world has changed and how much the world has changed. And of course the world has changed. In fact, the city has changed. No doubt New York has certainly changed, and no doubt for many here, your office has changed. I was looking through the list of the 67 Britons, 16 foreign nationals, and the thousands who lost their lives. And for each one of those individuals, there is, of course, a whole network of relationships that have changed forever. And I want us to see what Jesus has to say to those of us who have lost loved ones and colleagues through this man-made disaster. So glance down at your sheet again. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you." and then the Tower of Siloam with the 18 who were killed, do you think they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. Now, it may seem quite a stark statement by Jesus, but let me say that to those who have lost a loved one, it is a key statement. Obviously, because of my job as a clergyman, I've had quite a lot to do with people who have been bereaved through sudden tragedy like this. And the question, what did they do to deserve it, is a question that frequently plagues and haunts the bereaved. Did we do something wrong? How come it was us and our family and not somebody else? Have we offended God in some way? If you've never been bereaved like that, you may well not understand it, but it is a real question that is often on the lips of those who have suffered. Are they any worse than others? Did we do anything to deserve it? Why were they taken and not me? Indeed, we've heard, haven't we, the press pointing the finger at America on occasions. And Jesus answers the very question, do you think that these Galileans are worse sinners than anybody else? No. So no moralizing, please, from the press. Jesus says no, no worse sinners than anybody else. It is a classic concern. And graciously, Jesus offers real assurance in a fallen world where evil men work out their wicked plans. The fact that one person rather than another suffers is categorically not a measure of what that person has done. So, of course, for numbers of individuals and families, for many here today, the world has changed. But the claim today by Al-Qaeda to have altered the course of history is a nonsense. And the suggestion by some of the more hysterical elements of the media that the world has changed forever is an absurdity. Why, this very passage shows us that the world hasn't changed. In 2,000 years, the world is exactly the same as it was. You can see it in verse 1. There were some present at the very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They came up to Jerusalem to make a sacrifice. Pilate slaughtered them, took their sacrifices, took the blood of the people he had slaughtered, and mixed it with the blood of the sacrifices they were going to make. Why, way back in the first century, there were wicked dictators in our world doing the most despicable things. Pilate was particularly vindictive. And again, in verse 4, the Tower of Siloam. There have always been tall buildings collapsing and destroying people. So, of course, the world has not really changed. Pilate, Genghis Khan, the Kaiser, Stalin, Hitler, Pol Pot, Saddam. It was Plato who said, only the dead have seen the end of war. In a world such as ours, which is fallen, where there are different groups of people refusing to recognize God as king, lord, and ruler, there will always be conflict as those different groups of people bump into one another. And we will never see the end of war. I'm sorry, it's a fact of life. We are right to work against war. We must do all we can to alleviate the pain of war. But Jesus promises that there will be wars, rumors of war, earthquake, famine, nations rising against nation. It is the norm in our fallen world. And we must remember it in the West. This side of heaven, we will never see the end of war. That, of course, takes us to the second question that flows out from Jesus' teaching. Not now has the world changed, but now Jesus wants to know, have we changed? Or rather, have I changed? Have you changed? Now, again, it may seem a really strange question to ask, so I want us to be clear that it's not me asking it, it is Jesus who suggests that we need to change as we live today in a fallen world. And the words are there in our reading, they're not my words, they're his. In the light of an almost exact disaster, Jesus, a decent period of time afterwards, says, unless you repent, you likewise will perish. To repent means to change the direction of your life. To change your mind, in fact, is literally what it means. Heading in one direction one moment, changing and heading in another direction. And so the question Jesus asks these people who come to him in the light of this huge wickedness is, have you changed? And Jesus asks that question because he has heaven in sight. And he wants us to be there. You see, he knows that he has acted to enable us to have a place in heaven. And so because he came specifically to give us the opportunity to have a certain place with him in his perfect new world, beyond this fallen world, where there will be no war, no sadness, no tears, he says, have you changed? You see, it's the fact that Jesus has died to wash away our own sins and to secure a place for us in heaven that enables the Christian person to say, though I walk through the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one, because Jesus has given me a secure place in heaven. And so Jesus says, have you changed? I remember saying this time last year that the destruction of the towers and the damage of the Pentagon was a clear reminder to us of our own mortality. One of you said to me that when you went to the dentist and had your two front teeth knocked out, I'm not going to identify who it was, just in case you're worried, every time after that that you looked in the mirror, you were reminded that they'd gone. And then you said, every time I now fly into New York and look at the skyline, I am reminded that nothing we do lasts forever. None of us will be here forever. Everything around us that looks so solid will be gone one day. Do you remember the Baltic Exchange? That huge building, 100 yards in that direction, it's gone. Do you remember the boom times of the 80s and the 90s where everything seemed so solid? They're gone. Do you remember Swiss Air? Enron, Marconi, WorldCom, the Queen Mother? Princess Margaret? You too will one day meet with God. So will your spouse. So will your children. So will I. And so Jesus says to us, the only sensible question in the light of this huge disaster, have you changed? It has to be the right question, doesn't it? We'll never be asked it by the media or by your boss, or when you get home this evening you won't be asked it. Well, you may be asked it, actually, have you changed? But not in that sort of sense. But you see, Jesus, because he has on the cross died to deal with our fallen world and our own personal sin, and then risen alive again, can secure for us a place in heaven, he says, have you changed? Unless you change, you too will perish. I remember speaking to one of you at the door this time last year, actually, it was a week today. And you said as you left, oh well, back to life as normal. Life has got to go on. We must put this behind us and get on with things. And I said, well, are you thinking of changing at all? No. I'm just here today to just pay my respects, and then it's life as normal. And I remember thinking then, how blind. You too, one day, will be gone. and you will face the living God. And so Jesus says, have you changed? Has the world changed? Of course it has, for numbers of individuals, and we're going to be praying for them now and their families. And we must do all we possibly can to continue to remember and support them. Of course the world has changed. But the world has not really changed. It is a fallen world. And our world lives out its existence in rebellion against God. But Jesus has entered the world and graciously offered us the possibility of an eternal future without tears and suffering and sadness and pain. And so he says to us here in the city, 1 year on after the event, have you changed? Well, here at St. Helens, we would love to be of help to you if that's something you want to do and if you're ready to do it. And at the back there, you'll find a very helpful leaflet, Where Was God on September the 11th? Please take it away with you and read it if that would be a help. And you'll see various other bits and pieces there on the service sheet. Well, now we're going to pray, and then after the silence, we will stand to sing. So let's pray, and Andrew Jones is going to lead us.